Episode 88. Hey kids, welcome to Inside the Yellow Studio. Boy, today it's a good thing. It's early in the afternoon as I'm hitting the record button, but it looks like it's about 8 o'clock at night outside. We've got lightning, we got storms happening, we got big weather moving in. Hey, welcome to Tornado Alley in May. It happens. It happens. You're liable to hear some rumbling outside as we do the show. Got the shutters open. If you've seen pictures of the studio, they're posted here somewhere. Got these white wooden shutters inside, and I can open them so I can see outside. It's just downright dark in here. But I like it. It's cool. It's awesome. I kind of like bad weather every now and then. I mean, I don't like dangerous weather, but I'm not like Reed Timmer. You watch that show, Storm Chasers? It's a great show. I'm sure Reed and the boys are, in fact, he tweeted sometime today. I think they're, were they up in Nebraska or maybe they were in Kansas? They were somewhere. Thinking about heading south back toward home, which for him is Norman, Oklahoma. He's a Sooner. Big weather. Big weather. Cool stuff. Cool show. But be safe. Be safe, because it can absolutely, as we've learned with the tragedy in Alabama, it can just, the power of these things is just ridiculously incredible. I'm thankful, honestly, for guys like Reed who get out there and do that, because, people that don't live in areas where tornadoes frequent have no idea how just a couple of minutes is all it takes to save lots of lives. You know, you'll see these interviews with people in a storm-riddled area, and they're just thankful that they've found their loved ones safe. It's like, you know, we can replace the stuff. We can rebuild the house. We can buy new clothes. But, you know, as long as we're all safe, that's the main thing. So at any rate, that's the shape of things here. I want to talk to you about selling. I'm not going to talk to you about the steps of selling. I'm not going to talk to you about how you can be more effective at selling. I'm increasingly having conversations with people that are just, they're finding it difficult. And some of them are finding, well, here's the expression. I just hate it. You know, I like what I do and I believe in the stuff that I'm doing, but it's so hard to sell. And I really don't like selling and I don't understand it. I don't understand it, but I'm trying. I'm working real hard at it. And if that's you, if you find it difficult to involve yourself in sales and marketing, then, well, I'm glad you tuned in today, because I've got some perspectives about this, and I hope that they'll help you. I'm going to encourage you to embrace the art of selling. It doesn't matter if you're selling an idea, if you're selling a service, if you're selling a product. It doesn't matter if you're trying to promote a nonprofit cause or organization. You're trying to persuade people. Selling. We all want to influence people. We all want to, we want to make a difference. We want to impact people. We should. Nothing wrong with that. Now, you may have heard this before, but maybe you haven't. I'm one of these guys that I'm probably a lot like you. We kind of think that what we know, well, doesn't everybody know that? And the more we get out, the more we talk to people, the more we realize, no, Everybody doesn't know that. And this, for me, is one of those things. And the idea is, it's both profound and very simple. And the idea is this. The world needs what you've got. The world wants what you've got. Assuming that you've got something of quality. Now, I realize that may be a big assumption. There's plenty of stuff that's out there that's being marketed and sold that I don't happen to think is quality. But there's an awful lot of stuff out there that is quality. So do everything in your power to prepare and to make sure that you've got quality behind you, that you're providing true value. Once you get to that point, now you've got to get your head wrapped around this truth. The world needs this. Somebody out in the world needs this, and if you don't tell them, they won't know about it. If you don't sell it, if you don't offer it, then you refuse to give them the opportunity to buy it. You refuse to give them the opportunity to take advantage of it. Now, you can poo-poo that, and you can say, well, that's just so much bull. No, it's not. It's not at all. Think about the things that you've got that you value. Episode 87 had a photograph of 5 field notes, little notebooks. These are little, go over to episode 87, you'll see a photograph of them. These are little 48-page memo books. These things are, I don't know, I mean, they're 3x5. Well, they're not even that big. I don't know what these cost. You buy them in packs of 3. And I've got lots of them. I love these things. I absolutely love these things. These guys up in Chicago started making these things, and they offered them for sale. And I when I first saw them, I thought, now that looks really cool. And they talked about how they were kind of taken back from some old agricultural notebooks. Well, I didn't know what agricultural notebook was, but the story was really compelling. You know that they're durable. They're made to just slap in a pair of overalls, and farmers could write down their stuff. And so they'll take rain, sleet, or snow, and just keep on chugging. Well. I clicked the buy button. I bought some. And then I bought more. And then I bought more. And there was a time where I was running a company, and I bought some for everybody in the company. they're awesome. And I'm like, I'm glad they make these. I'm really, really glad they make these. So there's the value. That starts, that's first. But man, if they hadn't got out there and promoted these and let me know about these, I wouldn't have them. Now, I'd still have my moleskins, but these are not like moleskins. These are very different than a moleskin. They're smaller. They're very flexible. They fit nicely in any kind of pocket. They're just really cool. Now, this is not a high-dollar thing, okay? And maybe whatever you're offering has some price point that's significantly higher than a little 48-page softbound notebook. But is it possible that you've got people, is it possible that there are prospects out there who would look at your service, your product, your idea, and value it as much as I value a little 48-page field notes notebook? Well, I would hope so. How are they going to know about it if you don't tell them? How are they going to know about it if you don't talk about it? How are they going to know about it if you don't sell it? So the first thing I want you to get your mind wrapped around is the fact that you're doing other people a disservice when you refuse to talk about the value that you offer. Now, let me add a little addendum here. I'm not saying that Field Notes is going to be able to pull off. Buy Field Notes, buy Field Notes, buy Field Notes. What are I don't know what Field Notes are, and that leads to this point number two. You've got to get your head wrapped around that the world needs the value that you bring. But secondly, the world's got to understand the value. So point number one is to just kind of give you the motivation and to inspire you. Get out of this minefield that you're walking in believing that I hate selling. You're thinking old school. You're thinking, I don't want to be the guy that shows up at the mixer and I got a handful of business cards in one hand and I got a handful of brochures in the other. I hate that. Well, keep on embracing that idea. You need to hate that because that doesn't work. I don't know that it ever did. But that's what you're thinking. Well, stop thinking about that because that's not how it goes. Here's how it goes. Let's stick with Field Notes. I got Field Notes. Man, these are cool. Well, how am I going to sell these Field Notes? Well, I'm going to sell them first of all because I'm going to get it in my mind. You know, people need this. They just need these. Well, but people don't know about them. Well, as soon as they do, they're going to know they need them. Well, now, how am I going to present that value? Well, what Field Notes did is they told a story. I didn't have a clue. You could have thrown around the phrase agricultural notebook. You could have thrown that out as many times as you want. I'm a city guy. I have no idea what an agricultural notebook is. So you know what Field Notes did? They educated me. Field Notes said, you know, there's a thing called these agricultural notebooks, and what we have done is we have developed Field Notes to be a throwback to these old agricultural notebooks, because here's what these were. These agricultural notebooks, here's how they were made. Here's how durable they were. Graph paper, so it's lined paper. I mean, you can draw pictures on it. You can write on it. You can use it horizontally or vertically. And they began to teach me. They began to educate me. They began to show me the value. And they did it in a story. And they did it in a way that, man, it was drop dead easy for me to draw the conclusion. I need those. Man, I could use those. And they had done such a good job that it was such high value when I did buy my first three pack. And I don't know that I just bought a three-pack. I think I bought a couple or three-packs. Well, guess what? I bought more. Oh, and then they came out with multiple colors because they just start out with this kind of a khaki color, which are still most of the ones that I have. But then they came out a year or so ago. They came out with a collection, and every month they would send you a three-pack of a different color, and these were limited editions. Well, I had to have those. They're brightly colored, orange, blue. Like I care. Well, I did care. These are cool. If you don't use Field Notes, you're crazy. No, I don't have an affiliate. I wish I did, but go to Field Notes. I'm sure it's fieldnotes.com. Hang on, I'll tell you. Fieldnotesbrand.com. Go to fieldnotesbrand.com. Buy some Field Notes. You're crazy if you don't. These are crazy good. The world needs these. Do you have something the world needs? Do you have a perspective? Do you have a service? Do you have a value that exists in some form or fashion that the world needs? Sure you do. Sure you do. And you've really got to make it your business to put it out there. But you got to do it the right way. And welcome to the world of new media. And that's what's so great about today's world. When I started selling was very much what we called a toe-to-toe, belly-to-belly kind of an affair. You know, it's one guy selling to somebody else. It's me having a conversation with somebody else. Now, I never did do any kind of cold calling. I was... I mean, even back in the 70s when cold calling was kind of a bigger deal than it is now, in some industries it's still a big deal. You're talking to a guy here. I'm very opposed to cold calling. It may work. I'm not saying it doesn't work for some people, but I'm saying I think it's a stupid business model. I think it's insane. I think it's arrogant. I think it's obnoxious, and I won't do it, period. And I've never done it. I have done some telephone stuff, you know, because, well, a telephone was just a vehicle. That doesn't mean you're calling up people cold, but it means somebody who's got some interest, somebody calls you, they leave a number, and they would like you to call them back because they've got questions about something that you do. Well, okay, that's telephone kind of selling. But it's one-on-one. It's a conversation. Now, back in the day, we had some things that we would call seminar selling. We might have a product, and we might have a group of people who all had expressed a prior interest in this thing. And we would set something up, say, one evening, and we might have 20, 30, 40, 50 people. All of them pre-qualified. All of them, we're interested in this thing. We're interested in this service. Would you tell us more about it? And you could get people. Now, you didn't do that all the time, but you could do it on occasion. Every now and then, you could have some event. You might serve some finger food and kind of stuff and make it a little bit of a social thing. And then everybody would sit down and you would make this presentation. Well, now, financial planners and insurance sales guys and people that sell financial services have done that for years and years and years. And depending on how valuable the service is and depending on the kind of information that the person presents and how good they present it, the closing ratio on those can be anything from stupid bad to stupid good. But now we've morphed into this new era where we can have these conversations and we may not know down to the individual level who's listening. For instance, I've got really no way of knowing the individual people that might be listening to this podcast. I can have some idea of how many, but that doesn't mean that, okay, well, I know Sue, who lives in Des Moines, she's listening. I can't get down to that level. So what we have happening now is we're disseminating this information. Let me use another illustration besides field notes. There's a guy named Marcus Sheridan. Marcus runs a blog called The Sales Lion. He's a terrific guy, terrific resource. But Marcus and some compadres of his, they've got a pool company out on the East Coast, swimming pools. And he started blogging about swimming pools. Now, that's not what he does there at the Sales Line. But what he started doing by way of a blog is exactly what we old school sales guys have always done. And that is, we know what people are asking. We know the questions that people have. We know the challenges. We know the information that they find helpful once we get any kind of experience in an industry. And so part and parcel of our presentation, our pitch, if you please, it would be to address those things. Well, he began to do that, much like the Field Notes guys did, by educating me on, okay, here's what an agricultural notebook is. He began to do that with swimming pools. Because not everybody who buys a swimming pool has had a swimming pool before. And technology changes. There's all kinds of questions that people can have. And rather than wait for those questions to be asked, what Marcus did, which was brilliant, pretty simple, and he'll tell you that, but brilliant. He began to make blog posts that, one by one, we're going to address these things. We're going to write these things out. We're going to provide this information. And it was rather innocuous when it came to buy my swimming pool. No, that wasn't it at all. It was, this is information that you need. Whether you buy a swimming pool from us or not, this is information you need. You need to make the best informed decision that you can. Because first and foremost, what he and his partners decided to do is we're going to provide free value to everybody who's interested in pools. Well, now, what if you're in Dallas, Texas, and you're not in the Virginia area up there where Marcus and his buddies do their business? He going to send a bunch of trucks? Is he going to fly in here to Dallas and build my pool? Nah. I could still find value, and I could still talk about him, and I could still retweet a blog post, or I could go and comment on his, and all of that just continued to build value, and it continued to build credibility, and it continued to build him as an expert in that space. And in short order, that's what he became. He became kind of the resident expert on the internet in building pools. Do you think that helped? Do you think that that was something that benefited him locally? Yeah, you think? And it didn't matter if it was Bob in Montana or Randy in Dallas reading the blog or commenting on the blog or retweeting about the blog post. It was information. It was good information. More and more, increasingly, so much of selling is really teaching. It's really educating people. It's really, you know, addressing these things that we know people want to know. I know some people in Dallas who run nonprofit. You could sit down with them and they could talk the hinges off a door about their nonprofit. You know, here's what we do. Here's how much money we try to raise. Here's what our budget is. Here's where the money goes. And here's the good work that we're doing. And one case study after another case study of great stories of people that they've helped and great causes that they're behind. Now, that could be profitable if they're sitting across from Jerry Jones, who owns the Cowboys, or if they're sitting across from Mark Cuban, who owns the Mavericks and HDNet. But, you know, if they're sitting across from me, it's not going to be nearly as profitable. But the great thing about new media is now they can tell this story, and they can tell it in the most compelling way possible, and they can do it in a variety of ways. They could write a blog post. They could record an audio and put it online. They could record a video and put it online. And now you could consume it any way that you want. You could consume it 365 days a year, and they could refer people to that over and over and over again because, well, it's what the internet calls evergreen. It stays current. I mean, unless their mission or objective changes as a nonprofit, the story is the story. And they've got great stories to tell. Every successful nonprofit, they've got great stories to tell, compelling stories to tell to get you to open your wallet and support their cause. You can do the same thing with your business. And it's all selling, whether it's nonprofit, whether it's an idea, whether it's a political persuasion or perspective, whether it's a product or service. Doesn't matter. Selling, selling. And we've all got to do it. If you're going to be a person of persuasion, if you're going to be a person of influence, if you're going to be a person who's going to make any difference at all in the world, you are going to have to be a salesperson. You're going to have to be a good one. And it starts from value. It starts from belief that what I have, the world needs. And what I have, the world needs, and the world needs to understand it. And if I can help the world understand it, then they will see the value in it, and presto change-o, now we're people of persuasion and influence. I want to leave you with one other thought, because I think it's important, and because it seems to come up an awful lot of the time. And that is, in your efforts to sell, and in your quest to sell, you are going to have to come to terms with the fact that to be good means you're going to have to occupy a space where people love you. And that necessarily means that you're going to have to also occupy a space where people hate you. Howard Stern is a radio megastar. I don't like Howard Stern. I don't like him in the least. I wouldn't say I hate him. I hate his work. I can truthfully tell you that. Now, I think he's brilliant. I think he's a smart, smart guy. And I also happen to believe that he's a good salesman in the sense that he clearly understands that his shtick, his the value that he delivers, there are going to be people who see it, and it's tremendously exciting, and it's entertaining, and it's compelling for them. They love it. And they're going to be those people that are like me, don't like it at all. And you know what? He's perfectly okay with that. You'd better be okay with that too. You'd better know that there are going to be people who love you and support you. There are going to be people like me who tell you, go to fieldnotesbrand.com and buy a package of Field Notes. If you've never experienced Field Notes, invest in a 3-pack and see if you like them or not. You're going to like them. But you know what? You might not. And you know what? They're okay with that. And you could think, well, you know what they ought to do? They ought to come out with a Field Notes that's competitive with Moleskine. No, they're not Moleskine. If you want a Moleskine, go buy Moleskine. But that's not what Field Notes are. You need to be able to embrace that kind of weirdness, that kind of uniqueness, so that you can be comfortable knowing that you're going to have people that are going to love what you do, and there are also going to be people that hate what you do. Now, last piece of advice. Don't spend any time on those people that hate what you do. Now, I'm not telling you don't take valid criticism. It could be that there are people that there's something that you do that they hate. They'd buy from you, but there's some impediment that you're putting in the way, and that's what they hate. Listen to that. That'll make you better. But if somebody says, you know, I hate these Field Notes, I hate these. What should Field Notes do about that? Should Field Notes go back to the drawing board and say, well, you know, Randy in Dallas, he hates these, so we need to re-engineer these. No, you need to ignore Randy in Dallas if that's what he says. Because there are other people who love them. Makes sense? Well, I hope the weather is... I hope it's safe where you are. In fact, I hope it's safe where I'm at. It looks just terribly nasty outside. But I kind of like dark, dreary days. You that way? I am. I don't know why, but I can get kind of in that kind of a mood. So, go forth. Sell your idea. If you don't, nobody else will. The world needs the value that you have to offer. Work hard. Brace yourself. Prepare yourself to provide value. And once you do, don't be bashful about sharing it by teaching people, educating people, showing people the value, helping them see it so they'll buy it. Visit the website, won't you? BulaNetwork.com. The Facebook page is facebook.com/BulaNetwork. I appreciate you listening. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave me some feedback over at iTunes. And until next time, see you.